Please go to the Lord in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the saints of God who come out on a rainy day, dear Heavenly Father. Because, Lord, it doesn't take much to stop us from coming to church, dear Heavenly Father. It doesn't take much to stop us from serving you. But, Lord, I want to say thank you for the men and women you brought out. And there's others who would have come on out today, Lord, couldn't make it for whatever the reasons. I'm asking that you'll continue to draw them and bless them and guide them and bring them closer to you. And, dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here today in the sound of my voice, here in the congregation, online, wherever the word happens to come out, dear Heavenly Father, let it be done with all that I have, and that's all that's within me. May the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are changed and souls are saved by the power of the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. To turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. The song that they were just singing, Do Not Pass Me By. That's so apropos for what we're getting ready to be talking about right now, because the cry of many, 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 many people is, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And sometimes you have the misfortune of ending up in a denomination that tells you that, you know what, you might be saved today, but tomorrow we're just not really sure. And so you have this constant agitation, this constant consternation about, don't pass me up, Lord. I don't know. Am I still in your graces? Am I still positionally where I need to be? And I think about that for the folks here in the church. But I want you to broaden your thought process just a little bit. Just a little bit. We live in America. We have troubles in America. But I just want you to broaden your thought process. There's a Christian woman who overseas just have to give birth to her child in jail because she's a Christian. There's a pastor, an American citizen, over in Iran right now. He's in a torture chamber of a prison for preaching the gospel. This is a message not just for Grand Prairie, Texas. This is a message for across the world. And I want y'all, it's okay for us to feel like things are just overpowering us. But I want you to understand there's some folks in some really, really, really dire circumstances that the Lord says, you pray for them. Don't ignore their plight. We pray for them. And then there's people out here on the street. I was at the store, I won't even name the store the other day. You just look around. People are utterly lost. They are lost. And you can see, they don't even have to say a word to you. You can look at them and it screams out, lost. But we got the message. We got the good news. Are you going to turn your back and walk away from them? Are you going to pass them by? Are you going to just take a moment of time and say, Jesus loves you. Let me tell you how you can know that you aren't too far from his grace. Purpose in your heart, saints. Purpose in your heart. I'm just asking everybody here to go just a little bit beyond your four and no more. I want you to take that mindset, that Christian, if you're saved, I want you to take it out farther. And the more you practice, I'm telling you, the easier it gets to take it even farther and further. Because Jesus said, take it to the ends of the earth. I'm not sure about y'all, but last time I looked at a globe, if you start east and just keep going, I didn't see an end. So he said, just keep going. Just keep telling folks about Jesus. Keep telling folks about Jesus. Okay, we're in the book of Luke. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 15. And we are pretty much going to cover the chapter because there's three parables in this chapter. Three parables. One is about a sheep, a lost sheep. One is about a lost coin. And the other one is about a lost son. But they're all tied together. Jesus put them all there together so that we don't, we have a tendency to kind of compartmentalize our thoughts and over think some things that really don't need to be overthought. But he gave you these three parables, and they kind of build one after the other. You start off with the lost sheep, you go to the lost coin, and then you go to the most important of all, the lost son. What we will do is we will read just the first two verses. Keep your Bibles open. I'm reading from the King James Bible. Keep your Bibles open because I refer to it frequently, and I just want you to stay with me. Verses 1 and 2, chapter 15, the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and it reads in the King James Bible. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I want you to keep a special notice on the part where he says, where the Pharisee said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today we will be talking about you are never too far from grace. You are never, I emphasize never, too far from grace. When Sister Ward was singing this song about do not pass me by, it's because some folks, some of us got a little, we got some background stuff in us that we don't want nobody to know about. And you know the truth is, the Bible's, just so you'll know, y'all, just so, the Bible says there's certain things that you should be so ashamed of that you don't tell nobody. You only tell Jesus. There's some whoremongering in our backgrounds. There's some adultery in our backgrounds. There's some homosexuality in our backgrounds. There's some abuse in our backgrounds. There's some lying. There's some cheating. There's some stealing. There's an abundance of pride in our backgrounds. While we're trying to find out if you can ever get too far from grace, remember, we talk about this man who his enemies even knew. He receives sinners. And not only does he receive sinners, he'll sit down and sup with you too. That's from his enemies now. That's from the people who can't stand him now. They're telling you, watch out for him. Because he's going to welcome you no matter where you've been, no matter how far out you got, no matter how deep you got. Remember, he welcomes sinners. And when you see this word sinners in your Bible, the literal translation for that is the Greek word that means just the off-scouring of the world. Nothing, dirt, nasty folks. You know, kind of like us. No good folk. No good folk. Ain't good for nothing. But look what they're doing. I believe they heard something about this man. Because the Bible says they all drew near to him. They wanted to get close because they didn't want to miss nothing. Because they don't know, but those of us who are saved are, they don't know that he'll save you. He'll take you, no matter how far out you got there, he'll take you. But they're hearing this message as though somebody heard it for the first time. So they're leaning up real close. He didn't have a microphone or anything like that. So they're trying to draw up real close to him. And you got two classes of people here now. You got a group of folks here, the sinners, the publicans and the sinners. The publicans were, I didn't say Republicans, I said publicans. The publicans were tax collectors, low-life tax collectors. And the people despised the tax collectors of that day because the way they made their money was they would get money from, they would get the legitimate amount of taxes from you that they're supposed to, and then they tack a little bit on for themselves, and that's how they make their living. So the people despised them. They were the off-scouring of the world. You had these sinners just hanging out, no good, just no good people. And I believe that they're just trying to figure out, is heaven just too far out of my reach? Maybe it's just an old wives' tale. Maybe it's, or maybe I have sinned so bad that I missed it. Maybe I have just totally disqualified myself from heaven. But I heard this man over here knows something about it. And so I'm going to go listen to him. And the Bible says, Jesus called all the people close to him. And he gave them a parable. A parable is it's like an object lesson. It's a story that the Lord would use, an earthly story that everybody would understand to make a spiritual point. Because we can't see spiritual things with the natural eye, but if you could start where people understand, that's why this wordless bracelet is so nice. Because if I point to the color gold, everybody believes that heaven, pearly gates, golden streets, everybody knows that pretty much. And then if I tell them this black bee represents sin, you got any sin in your life? If they ain't never heard the word sin, they go, yeah, I've done some things wrong. Okay. Well, we got to start now. We got to start here. So what Jesus is doing is he's giving these folks something that they can already connect to so he can take them to someplace where they need to connect. And he starts off where he goes, there's a man who had a sheep. He had 100 sheep. He started off with 100 sheep. And he's saying to these folks here, because some of them don't believe they can possibly, I can't possibly get good enough to go to heaven. I know good folks. I seen them in church and I ain't one of them. I know what a good man looks like. I know people who just give and give and give sacrificially. I know people who are kind and love, and that's not me. So they're saying, can you explain to me how am I going to get into that heaven that you're talking about? And Jesus says, let me look here. Okay. You got 100 sheep. And one of those sheep takes off on its own. And he's saying to each one of these people, he said, you, I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, ma'am. If this scenario was you, wouldn't you put those 99 over here somewhere? And wouldn't you, not me, wouldn't you go and get that one and keep going? And look, he doesn't say just go looking for him. He says in verse 5, he says, keep going until you find him. He said, wouldn't you do that? He said, yeah, you do that. He said, okay, that heaven that you don't know anything about? He says, in verse 7, he says, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. He said, when you find that sheep, you're going to do just like this man. I know you would. You're going to be happy. You're going to rejoice. And you're going to go to your neighbors and your friends. You're going to say, I found my sheep. Don't you know that rascal took off in the middle of the night and I tracked him down and I brought him back home. He said, you understand that. He said, I know you understand that. And he goes, and everybody's happy. The friends are happy. The relatives are happy because you have recovered your sheep. He said, well, likewise, I'm going to tell you something that you don't know, that you haven't seen. Just like how you're so happy that you found that sheep. Don't you know that in heaven, right now, there's folks shouting. Angels shouting. Relatives who done gone on before you shouting. He said, you see, but you can't see that. And look here. He's not telling you. He's not saying, I heard that. He's giving you an eyewitness account. Look what he's saying. I'm telling you, likewise. This is not a, I think, I hope so, it might be. This is an eyewitness account. He says, I know what I'm talking about. And I thought, why would people listen to him? And there have been so many other teachers who have come along and they just, you know, people kind of listen to him. They just kind of take it in. Look what it says. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 7, verse 46. The book of John, chapter 7, verse 46. You want to know why they listened to Jesus? Why? You want to know why Jesus got in so much trouble? Because Jesus didn't give his opinion. It says, The officers answered, when they were asking about who this man is, they said, never man spake like this man. See, when Jesus starts telling about heaven, this heaven that they can't see, that they've never seen, and these people having joy, and these people shouting and rejoicing in heaven, he's speaking with authority. He's saying, this is not my opinion. This is the way it is. And see, and that's why people have problems with preachers who actually stand on the word, because when you've got sin in your life, and somebody says, that's wrong according, thus saith the Lord, that's not right, get mad at the preacher. But I'm here to tell you, if the preacher is standing on the authority of the word of God, your problem is not with the preacher, it's with the word of God. So Jesus is saying, in heaven, when one, not a thousand, on the day of Pentecost, well, I bet you church, I bet you heaven went crazy on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people came to the Lord in one day on the day of Pentecost. And it says when one person gets saved, all heaven rejoice. He says that heaven rejoices more over the one than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, so you'll understand, when he's saying there's people who don't need any repentance, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. And this will clarify that for you. Dude, Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's what he's saying. If there's 99 people over here who don't think they need the salvation message, I didn't come for them. Because until you understand that you are lost, until you understand that you are a sinner, until you understand that you personally need a Savior who's going to save you, until you understand that, this don't mean nothing to you. This is nonsense to you, because you're so good, you haven't even come to the understanding that you need Jesus. He's saying, because the Bible tells you, there's none that are righteous, but there's many who think they are. But the folks who come here, the folks who he's talking to, they know they need a Savior. And he's pointing out to them that you come here and you will find a Savior. In verse 8, he gives them his second parable. First, he talks about the lost sheep. Then he's talking about the lost coin. And he's trying to emphasize for them the urgency. When the man lost his sheep, he immediately took off to go find that sheep. In the next parable, he's talking about a woman who lost the coin. And I believe she lost the coin at night, because it said that she lit a lamp. She lit a lamp and she swept the whole house looking for that coin. When they talk about losing a coin, the women of that day, during the Greek women of that day, used to have like a little bracelet, and it would have 10 coins on it, drachmas. And it'd be like 10 coins. And it appears as though one fell off of the bracelet, and she's in a panic. I thought, that's good, but I got to bring that up to 2014. She left her cell phone in the mall. You want to see people panic? Leave that smartphone with everything you got in the world. And it's, in fact, I thank you, Lord. I just saw, we were at Captain D's last week. Man, come running back in Captain D's. He's running. He's looking. And he went over to the trash can in the public restaurant. Woo! Woo! I said, oh my goodness. He said, it dawned on me when I scraped my plate. I just put everything. You think he wouldn't turn over heaven and earth to get that cell phone, just like you and just like me? The Bible says you will turn this place upside down for a material thing. He said, don't you know that once the lady found that, I was shouting with the man. He pulled his phone out the garbage, and I'm going, ooh! Because I'm thinking, man, if that was me, I'd lose my mind. The lady, she rejoiced and she shouted. And then look again, it's almost verbatim. Verses 7 and verses 10 are almost verbatim. Jesus says, again, not his opinion, his eyewitness account. Jesus says, likewise, I say unto you,
There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Just one. He said, if just one of you gets lost, if just one of us gets off track, he said, don't you know that when you are found, heaven, where we all want to go, heaven, that ever elusive thought in our minds, where we're just not sure because we can't taste it, we can't touch it, we can't see it, but we got to go on the word of God. He says, it's there. And not only is heaven there, but everybody there cares about you and cares about me. That's good news, y'all. Because sometimes you get the feeling, don't nobody know. Don't nobody know me. Don't nobody care about me. People could care less. If I walked out this building and dropped dead tomorrow, nobody would care. But I got news for you. The Bible says you care. Remember, verse 2. Remember, this man welcomes folks like us. This man named Jesus, he receives sinners. But let's talk about repentance is required. In those first 10 verses, you see where he talks about the sheep, he talks about the coin, but then he adds a little caveat at the end of that, where he says, he has a condition. He says, when one sinner repents. Oh, wait, you don't mean I get to just walk into heaven and just like I am? And the song say it, come just as you are. But when you come, you got to repent from what you've done. Come just as you are. Come the way you dress, the way you look, the way you smell. Come. But he says the shouting goes on after you repent. What's it mean to repent? It means to think differently. It means to change your mind about who you say God is. See, because we like to say, God is my co-pilot. No, he's not. God is the pilot. You're a passenger. Change how you think about Jesus. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, paying for your sins and mine, you shall be saved. Short of that, you're lost and on your way to a Christless eternity. You got to repent. You got, and well, preacher, what about if I just say I changed my mind? John the Baptist said real clearly, he said, there's got to be some fruit unto repentance. There, when you change your mind about Jesus, somebody somewhere should be able to see a difference in your walk, a difference in your talk, a difference in your entire attitude. But if there's no change, it's not my job to tell you you're not saved. The Bible says you better check your salvation. You need to find out, am I really in the will of God? But he says, when you do repent, when you make that turn, when you were headed this way, and now you're headed this way, when you were cursing God, and now you're praising God, when you were abusing your wife, and now you're loving your wife like Christ loved the church, then you can start talking about shouting. Until then, you're just lying to yourself. Repentance is required. Second part I want to talk about is just how far can grace reach? Because we got this question that we started off with, where the statement is, you are never too far from grace. So if I'm never too far from grace, just how far can grace reach? He told you about the man who lost his sheep, and the owner went and got the sheep. By the way, the sheep was not trying to find the master. The coin was not trying to find the woman. It was the shepherd who was going to find the sheep, and it was the woman who was going to find the coin. So when you lost, when you utterly lost, you ain't looking for Jesus. Jesus is looking for you. In fact, the Bible says very clearly that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's move on down here to verse verses 11 through 22. And it starts off with the story that we're so familiar with this that I don't want to just gloss over it, but you've heard it many, many times. But I want to make sure that you knew it was tied to these first two parables. The prodigal son, the story about the prodigal son, the son who was just wasteful. That's the word prodigal. He's just wasteful. He just knucklehead. I guess that's what you call him. So you tie this in. You have the lost sheep. You have the lost coin, and now you have a son that you that somebody, not only in this culture, in this culture that we're talking about here in the scriptures, but even in our culture. What a blessing. And ladies, I'm not, you know, my wife told me she felt for most of her adolescent life, girls got the short end of the stick. How many of y'all ladies believe that? Y'all believe? Well, okay, y'all good now. Because it seems like boys get all the fun. Boys get, and Lord knows, now this part is definitely true. Boys have the least amount of responsibility, because not that we're supposed to, but it's just that parents seem to be a little bit more cautious with their daughters, and they a little bit more, sometimes some parents just water their sons. They just don't tell them nothing. Just here, just dump some water on them, put some food in them, go. Just go do what you want to do. Nah, that doesn't work that way. But even back then, it was a special thing to have a son, a very special thing to have a son. So can you imagine what it's like? This man has two sons. He has two sons and only two sons. And the prodigal, starting here in verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto them. Don't miss that part. He divided the goods not just to the younger son, but he divided them to the older son as well. So don't keep that, put a pin in that part right there. And he divided unto them his living. Let me translate that for you. What this boy had done, if he had walked up and slapped his daddy in the face, he couldn't have hurt his father any worse. Because in this culture, just like now, just like for those of us who have wills for our children, okay? What his son said was, Daddy, why don't you just drop dead and give me the money now? How would y'all feel, those of us who have wills for our children, and I'm going to ask this question so we could determine whether to scratch them out. If they came to you right now and said, Hey, Daddy, why don't you just give me the money? Well, son, I can't get the money unless I'm dead. Okay, that's what he did. That's what he did to his daddy. But his daddy loved him so much that the Bible says that his daddy took the money that was going to go to him and his brother, and he divided them his living, not their living, his living. He gave them all. He gave them what he would will them upon his death. And not many days after, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 13, here's what the boy did. Some of y'all go to Las Vegas, and you get all these chips. Well, at least this is how they used to do it. They might do it all electronically now. I don't know. But you go and you cash in your chips. Here's what the boy did. He took all the stuff, the cattle his daddy gave him, the horses or whatever. Whatever his daddy gave him, he went and cashed it all in. He went down to the payday loan place. See, he was a sucker from day one. Anyway, went down to the payday loan place, cashed it all in, and got him some fast money. And now, I'm going to go live high on the hog. Woo-wee! I got a little change in my pocket going jing-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, boy, he ready to go. He ready to get going. He ready to tear it up. And he heads down to the far country. But I want to tell y'all, even though you go to the far country, you're never too far from grace. And the Bible says that he got down there, and he just went to partying. He just went to having himself a big time with all this riotous living. And when he first got there now, and this, especially for y'all young folks, some of us older folks, we still kind of stuck on stupid. But for y'all young folks, I want y'all to understand this. It says when he got down there, he had all the friends that money could buy. Oh, yeah, he had friends on top of friends. He had women. He had wine. He had whatever he wanted because he was the high roller. He was the high roller. He had all the friends that money could buy. And then the Bible says that there was a mighty famine in the land. Things got bad. Things got bad and things got worse. And he began to be in want. Now, my Christian friends, my non-Christian friends, stop right there. He began to be in want. When you hit that point, stop and remember. This man welcomes sinners. You've just got out there in the far country. Now, you ain't too deep right now. Stop. Because remember, this man welcomes sinners. And he'll sit and he'll eat with you. He'll sup with you. He'll rub your head. He'll talk with you. He'll walk with you. Talk. And he says, remember, he'll do that for you. But he didn't stop. Some of y'all getting ready to take this next move. Stop. It says the next thing he did, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Oh, my goodness. You're stupid, and you go find somebody who's just as stupid as you are. And you join yourself to him. You're in rebellion, and you go find somebody else who's in rebellion with you when you could have just stopped. And remember, this man, no matter how far can you get, he went to the far country and he still couldn't get away. He still couldn't get away, but he persisted. He insisted. He kept trying his best to work it out himself. I'm going to go find me another rebel and I'm going to hook up with that other rebel and we're going to rebel again together. He said he hooked himself up to a citizen of that country. And then that citizen of that country, he said, well, hey, I'll tell you what, man, I got a little side job for you. Go down here and feed my hogs. His life went from bad to worse, and he still ain't turned. Life went from bad to worse, and he still ain't turned. And he got down there, and he's feeding the man's hogs. And you got to understand, this is from a Jewish perspective. The lowest job he could possibly have was working in a hog pen. He couldn't get no lower than working in a hog pen. But even taking a beating, living low, feeding hogs, messing around in hog slop, he still would not repent and turn to this man who welcomes sinners. But look what happens in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Romans 10 and 8. The reason that you can't get too far away from grace is because Romans 10 and 8 tells us that the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth. He says, if at any point in time when you've wasted all that you had, you squandered all that you had, you've gone and you've hooked up with another rebel just like you. But if any time, if you come to yourself, if you come to yourself and you start talking to yourself and asking yourself questions, am I so far away from grace that I can't get back home? The Bible says the word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. All you got to do is confess it. Now we're talking spiritual things. You're away from God. You way away from God. He goes, all you got to do is confess it with your mouth. The Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And when you do that, that grace starts flooding in. If you can't turn back the hands of time, can we just stop where we're at right now? Can we just stop rebelling? Can we just stop neglecting the word of God? Can we just stop being so caught up and so consumed with me? Can we do that? Can we just do that? If we can just get that, you'll come to yourself and you'll understand that you ain't all that. I'm not all that. It's Jesus. It's that man who receives sinners. He's got to be our focus, y'all. He's got to be our focus because he's the only one who can break those chains that bind us. He came to himself and he started thinking about how much he had left at home when he walked away from his father's house. What he had left at home that his father still had left over that was more than what he had. And then this is the key. You have two verses here. Verse 18 and verse 20. He says, I will arise in verse 18. In verse 20, he says, and he arose. Why is that so important? I will arise, and then he arose. Y'all ever heard people say, I'm finna? I'm going back to my father's house. I'm going back. I'm going to do right. And I arose, but I never took a step. He said, I'm finna go back to my daddy's house. And then it says, I will arise, and then he arose. He put some shoe leather to his words. I believe, I don't know if, I don't, it's some great philosophical statement. I read it somewhere once before. I don't know if it was Socrates or Aristotle, but it was one of those guys who said, talk is cheap. One of those guys. We got a whole lot of talk, y'all. We got a whole lot of talk. Talk don't mean nothing. Talk don't pay the rent. Talk don't do nothing. You have to say, I'm going to arise. And then you got to get up. And you got to do something. You have to do something meet, something that is worthy of repentance. There has to be something in your life that changes to where people know, I'm a new man. I'm a new lady. I'm a new creature. But talk, brothers and sisters, talk is cheap. Well, unless you dial one of them 900 numbers they used to have. In the church, in our families, husbands, wives, children, talk is cheap. But look at, praise God for what he did. He said, I'm going to get up. And then he got up. I read an article. This took place in 2012. There was a man, and they found his body in Wyoming, frozen under a bridge. His family hadn't heard from him in almost 10 years. Nobody's even sure if he knew exactly what was going on with the family. But the fact is, he died. He froze to death. He was homeless. And he froze to death in Wyoming. And he was the heir of $19 million. But knowing that you got $19 million and never showing up to get it is like knowing there's a man who welcomes sinners and never coming to Jesus. That man died frozen under a bridge. We got family members. We got friends. We got folks out there that we don't know, but we're praying for them. They're going to die, and they're going to go to hell, not ever receiving the free gift of salvation, which is available to everybody. And part of that is, that's bad, but part of that is, will you take the time to tell them?
Will I take the time? Do you feel compelled enough? Do you have enough care to just talk to somebody? Tell them about Jesus. Do you have enough care for them? This young man got up, and as he was headed back to see his father, the Bible says that he had come to himself, so now he's thinking, okay? He got rid of his friends. He's gotten out of rebellion. The Lord has started clearing his thinking. Don't you know that when you let Jesus back into your life, he will clear your thinking? Don't you? I know that from personal experience. I tell you, I know that to be a fact, because when you are steeped in sin and locked up, even when you're saved, when you got sin going on in your life, you can't think straight. And this is the tripping part. You think everybody else is crazy. Man, he does. No, it's you. It's you. And until you get right, until you come to yourself and get right with Jesus, you can't think straight. But when this boy decided he's going to get right, when he decided, okay, I'm through, fell for the okie doke, I'm through with that, I'm going back home. And the Bible says, on his way, he starts calculating. He starts thinking, okay, I know I've been no good. I know I've been just a lousy son. I know what. I used to think I was all this, but now I'm going to humble myself. No, God done humbled me. I'm coming back with the right mindset. Daddy, if you don't do nothing but let me come sweep your house, I'm cool. I'm cool. Don't y'all know that Jesus, if once we humble ourselves, once we get to the point where I ain't all that, I'm just not all that. Once we get to that point, then you can approach him. What did he say about the repentance? The man who found the sheep, the lady who lost the coin, there was joy in heaven because of the repentance. When you get to the point where you say, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to come clean the bathrooms? I come clean the bathrooms. You want me to wash the window? What do you want me to do? You want me to stand out in the rain and hold an umbrella for the people coming into the church? I will. I will. And he's telling his daddy, he's saying to himself, okay, I'm just going to tell him. I'm going to throw myself at the mercy because I know I left bad. Don't you know that'll stop a lot of people from going back home? Oh, my Lord. That pride. Woo. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I was so thankful that the Lord allowed my daddy to live long enough and allowed me to live long enough. Say, Daddy, you were right. Oh, man. Oh, man. I was so much smarter at 19. But the Lord blessed me to be able to hang out with my dad before he passed. And just say thank you. If my earthly father did that for me, what's your heavenly father doing? Your heavenly father said, I love you so much, I'm going to let my son hang on the cross and pay for your sins. If that won't humble you, I don't know what will. But he said, Daddy, I just want to sweep your floors. I'm going to come in as a servant. But the Bible says that as he headed to the house, his daddy was always looking out on the horizon looking for him. I wonder how many days his daddy went to the horizon looking, just hoping. You know, folks can even recognize you by your walk. And the Bible says that he saw his son afar off, and then he did something. I'm 62 years old. I don't run. It hurts. I don't know how old this man was, but it said he started running. He started running. He had so much joy. He had so much love for his son. He took off running to his son because he said, my son was dead and now he's alive. And the Bible says the son went to talk. The son went to start talking. He went, well, Daddy, I don't, no. He called the servants. He said, go get my boy some clothes. Go get my boy some shoes. Go get my boy a ring, my ring, my signet ring, my ring that lets people know he's my boy. He ain't just any boy. He's my boy. Amen. Jesus says, you are my child. Don't you know that's big stuff, y'all? You are his child. You are a child of the king. He says to this, he gave folks the right to be the sons of God. That's a big deal to be the sons and the daughters of God. Amen. He said, put that ring on so folks don't mistake him for anybody else's kid. He's my kid. And he's steady there. So, daddy. No, no, no. Come on. Come on, we're going. And by the way, while you're getting all that other stuff, go kill me the best calf we got. My son's back home. Let there be joy. Let there be joy. And what did he tell you about the lost sheep? He said when they recovered him in heaven, joy. Lost coin, when they recovered it in heaven, joy. Lost son, when he come back home, he was dead, now he's alive, joy. Amen. Amen. He says, let there be joy. And in verse 21, I don't want y'all to miss this. In verse 21, the son says, he said, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I want y'all to understand, anytime we sin, we think I just hurt my wife's feelings. Oh, I just hurt my friend's feelings. I just, that was just a little something. Don't you know, whenever you sin, the first person we sin against is God. Anything that we do in rebellion, any mistreatment that we do of anybody, any wrongdoing, you first and foremost sin against God. King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, and he was in an adulterous relationship, the Bible says King David said, oh, Lord, I have sinned against thee. It's not between you and that person, per se. It's not between you and those people, per se. It's first and foremost between you and God. And we have to come into agreement with God. That's what we talk about with repentance. It's when I come into agreement with God, when I say, you're right, I'm wrong. The way I'm living, you're right, I'm wrong. The way I'm talking, you're right, I'm wrong. The way I raise my children, you're right, I'm wrong. And then God says, now that we've come to agreement with one another, now we can move ahead. He says, let there be joy. My son was lost, and now he's found. And then we get back to the elder son. I just want you to know that I won't go in depth on this. I just tell you this. When you get saved, there's joy in heaven. That don't mean everybody down here going to be happy with you. Because you remember in the first verse, it said that the publicans and the sinners were coming to Jesus, and there were some folks there called the Pharisees and the scribes, and they were mad. Don't you know there's people in church who they've been, this is our little church, and we do it, that's and. They ain't happy to see new faces in church. And look at him, he ain't dressed right. Ooh, no, they ain't happy. But you know what? If we turn those attitudes over to the Lord, he'll fix it. He'll fix it all. Because look what the father said to the oldest son. He said, you know, you should ought to be happy that your brother is here. You should ought to be happy, and you should be rejoicing that your brother is here, because your brother was lost. He was good as dead, and now he's alive. He was dead, and now he's alive. Last thing I'm going to talk to you about is I'm going to give you one more illustration about never being too far from grace. Because the boy went to the far country. That means he got as far away from his righteous daddy as he could possibly get on this planet. And he still ran into grace. The Bible says, I believe it's King David. I'm not sure, but I believe it's King David. He says, if I go down to the depths of hell, your grace is there. No matter where I go, God's grace is there. And if you'll ever come to your own self, if you ever come to yourself and say, I'm going to arise and then get up and do it, oh, they'll be rejoicing. Here I want to tell you about a young man, and we read about him in scripture. We don't think about him too often. Every now and again, his name, we don't even know his name, but his account comes up. And it was a boy that I believe was born somewhere in the region of Jerusalem, in this community, to have a son. Wow.
Man, special. Big deal. Have a son. And they had a son. They don't know. They don't give you his name. They don't give his parents' name. But I know they were excited when they had this boy child, because then and now, it's special. You know, somebody to carry on your family name. It's a big deal. And if it's the firstborn son, he gets a double portion of everything, because he's supposed to take care of you when you get old. And they were excited that they had this boy. And then somewhere, the Bible doesn't tell us where, but somewhere, this boy started hanging out with the wrong crowd. In fact, not only was he hanging out with the wrong crowd, there's even a possibility that he was leading the crowd. You know, we always like to say our sons got caught up in the wrong crowd with the wrong people. He actually sought them out. And then this young man was caught in an illegal activity, and he was arrested for what he did. And he was tried, went to court according to the customs of the day. And there's no indication that he was unfairly tried, but what we do know from Scripture is that he was sentenced to death. And the Bible says not only was he sentenced to death, he was sentenced to a horrible death in which he was being crucified. But the Bible doesn't give us his name. But we see him in Scripture, because it says there was a thief on either side of Jesus. And they both started off railing against Jesus, talking about him, telling him, if one of them even said, if you're the Christ, get down off of there yourself. Save, if you're going to save, you save us. And you got these two thieves, both of them guilty. Both of them started off as somebody's bouncing baby boy, and now both of them hanging on a cross. But here's the difference. I bet you one was saying, I wonder if I'm too far from grace. He's looking at Jesus there on the side of him, full of truth, full of grace. And he said, I think, am I... I see the results. I'm just filling in the dots. I think I'm going to take a chance on him. I've heard what people saying about him. And this nameless boy who ended up committing a heinous crime, tried being executed with Jesus. The Bible says he looked at Jesus and he said, will you remember me? We don't know his name. We don't know where it came from. But we know he ended up on the cross. He said, will you, sir, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? I flash back to verse 2. What does the enemy say? He don't know. He welcomes sinners. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and he said, today, not tomorrow, today, you'll be with me in paradise, because you're never too far from grace. God bless you.